I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com.
Hi, welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. We're coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, September 9th. This is the 77th episode of this series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is a top NYC hotel concierge, and I will introduce her in a moment. First, as I do in every show, I will start out with my PR tip. Then later, we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. Today's tip is to ask an expert. Don't be afraid to admit when you don't know something and get advice. People work in the service industry to help others, and it is their job. So when you have a question, speak up and let a pro guide you in the right direction. That's my tip today. Now, I'm very happy to have my guest here. It is Jeannie Voltsinis, chef concierge at the Viceroy New York Hotel in Midtown Manhattan. Name a restaurant in New York City, and Jeannie has been there. Since the start of her New York hospitality career, working for Tom Colicchio at his legendary restaurant, Kraft, Jeannie has continued to develop a passion and taste for good food and good service. She boasts over 13 years of New York hotel experience, including 8 years as a concierge in exclusive uptown hotels and hip downtown boutique hotels. So welcome, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me, Sherry.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming out to Bushwick.
Not such a far trek. I used to live very close by when the hipsters weren't here.
Oh, really?
18 years and counting, yes.
Wow. So you've seen the neighborhood change a bit.
Drastically, yes.
Yeah.
In a good way, of course, but it's kind of sad, too, to see all the little mama shops that are gone now.
Yeah.
These big condominiums and, you know.
Changes.
Change a lot.
Change is inevitable, but, yeah, change is happening.
Yeah.
So, becoming a concierge, want to figure out your career path. So, what was your background? Did you think you'd want to get into the hospitality industry growing up?
Well, no. I was actually, initially when I moved to New York City, it was to be an actress, of course, like everyone else in the city. And I studied at the American Academy for Dramatic Arts. And while I was there, unfortunately, I did have to work. And I became a server at, as you mentioned. Actually, Tom Colicchio's was not my first. It was a restaurant on Broadway called Punch. And I know Punch.
Yeah. It's still there.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So I started there, and I also worked at a little Greek restaurant by NYU that's no longer there, of course, either, and is now part of NYU. So that's when I first started to really, really realize that I loved the industry. But again, I came here for acting, so I pursued that instead. Once I graduated, I still didn't get into hospitality. I went into fashion, and I did that for a little while, but also didn't like that as much as the hospitality side. So I randomly went to the Soho Grand, and they had an open call for everything. And I just applied, and they hired me as a lobby GSA at that time, it was called, which was pretty much a liaison between the front desk and, I guess, the concierge, kind of. So basically, when guests were kind of in the lobby, they didn't know where they were going, I was kind of directing them. But at the same time, I was giving them a lot of advice and information just because I knew the city a lot and I loved everything about the city. So I was able to give them more accurate information. So from there, my supervisor at the time had seen that I was really passionate. He's like, would you actually want to work at the front office? And I said, not really, but I'd rather get into the concierge side. But it's very, very difficult to get into that part of the industry, believe it or not. And I became a front office agent, and then from there, front office supervisor. Continued in the hotel into sales, but my passion was concierge, and I just wasn't getting it. The three people that were presently working at the time were not leaving, and it was very hard for me to get a job there. So I tempted to quit, and then when I did, they finally had a position available, and then that's when I was hired.
Wow.
Yeah, so it took a while.
you said GSA, so is that guest service?
Guest service agent, yeah.
Agent,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
in my head, sorry, I was trying to think. At first,
you're
I was
good.
Like, sales agent, I'm like, no, okay, no, guest,
yeah,
service,
guest
agent,
service agent.
Which is kind of, it's like a concierge.
Absolutely. Again, not all of my guest service agents know that much, but I, again, am that person that was eager beaver, and I really wanted to try to get noticed, and I was trying to be the concierge, and I shouldn't have been. I got in trouble sometimes because, like, that's not your job. And I'm like, okay, but I love it. Please give me a chance.
And so, why is it so hard to get in? Why does everyone want to be a concierge?
I mean, everyone's different, but I guess for me, I love helping people. It's just something I've always loved doing from when I was a kid. I love people, making people happy, and knowing that. Because of me, when they, like, you're in New York for a couple of days and you have no idea what you're doing, but because of me, I created an itinerary for you that really was very memorable, and you're going to come back for more, and it just makes me really happy. And being a concierge in the city, why is it so hard? Because I can't lie, the perks are great. You know, we get invited to all the Broadway shows that are coming up. A lot of restaurants invite you because they want you to know what's going on. And, you know, we need each other in the industry, obviously. But that's not why I do it, for the free things, of course, but it is a nice perk to have, and it just, you meet so many amazing people. I have friends all over the world because of my job. I've traveled so much because of the people I've met through my job. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I've certainly had moments, yeah, where I thought I wanted to be a concierge,
right, right,
because I get it. It's
right,
the service industry, and
right,
and being knowledgeable about a city, and
right,
knowing, telling people where to go.
And they trust you, and that's, mm-hmm, like, which is scary too, because I value what I do so much, and I get upset if I don't please someone. But you can, of course, it's our business, as you know. Some people, no matter how good you are and what you say to them, it's never enough. But overall, to hear that, oh my God, Jeannie, like, I can't believe, if it wasn't for you, I would never have gone to A, B, or C. It's a nice feeling to know that, oh my God, I created that. I did. But it's hard work too. I mean, I'm out every single day. It's not easy to have, you have to be on it. You know, as New York, we open things every minute.
Yeah.
And
no, there's so many openings.
So many openings. And with social media and everyone, people know more than we do. It's scary. Like, I have some of my guests that will come in with a list, and I think, how did you even know? And they're from, like, so far away, but either they're friends or other people, you know, let them know. So for me, I really make a point of reaching out to restaurants before they even open, because I just want to know, like, what's going, mm-hmm, on, and let them know that we're there for you guys as well, because it's not easy for some of these newer restaurants that don't maybe have a name and are not recognized. When I reach out to them, they actually really appreciate it. They're like, Jeannie, it's not easy to reach out to 25 million hotels in the city and let people know that we're around, because of course the major ones are going to always get the recognition. You know, the Carbone guys, they're just known. Everyone knows them. No matter what they're going to open now is golden, right? And
yes,
like everyone who has a name, it's a little easier for them. But some of these smaller mama papa joints, it's really nice to reach out to them and say, hey guys, I heard you're opening, you're in our neighborhood or not in our neighborhood, and now Brooklyn becoming what Brooklyn's becoming. I'm having guests that would never touch Brooklyn before. They were scared. They're like, oh my God, are we allowed to go to Brooklyn? I'm like, are you kidding me? Rent in Brooklyn is more expensive than living in the city. And there's so many great things happening in Brooklyn. So it's really nice. My guests have changed now. Like before, even in the higher end hotels that I've worked at, where before you would never think that anyone from the Upper East Side would even attempt to go into Brooklyn. And
right,
now they're asking me about restaurants that, like, wow, how did you even know about Bushwick? Yeah, so.
Yeah. And I, yeah, know you're on it. I think that's,
yeah,
why we became friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we were just talking restaurants.
Right,
and,
right, right.
And you and I are both kind of obsessed with knowing about what's happening in the food industry.
Yeah, it becomes a little too much sometimes. I feel like I can't stop. Like, I'm on it every day. And again, you're the same way. We don't even give people a chance sometimes. I'm there, like, second day in. And the poor guy just opened. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't be doing this so quickly.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty early to go. I'm not the opening day person, but I think I usually go within the first few weeks the place is open to check it out.
Yeah.
And getting back to being with your, when you're talking about restaurants reaching out to you, in PR, I've gone around door to door for some of my restaurant clients, pitching them or giving them an introduction, like the press release and the menu and inviting them in, the same as I would do with the media.
Right.
I don't know. I assume other PR companies do the same thing, but it's something that might, or I don't know, could get overlooked, and yet at the same time, it's a huge customer base for these restaurants, especially neighborhood restaurants that are, you know, in the vicinity.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's your part of your job, and that's so great that you do that. I think it's a big help. Some, unfortunately, there are some people, if you go to the hotel, they kind of are like, okay, thanks, just leave us your information, and they just kind of forget about
you. Yeah, I got a lot of that.
Yeah, you do get it, right? I'm sure you do. So that's why I personally, actually, I reach out to a lot of PR companies myself. I have, like, a list of, like, especially when newer things are opening up, I make a point of calling the PR company before they're even on the radar and saying, listen, please, the minute you know when you're opening, or just give, at least send me, as you said, a press release of the restaurant, just so I can know what type of food you're serving, what your hours are. And I'll be honest, for the most part, some people are very responsive, but I've had some people that give me, like, real attitude and not even want to be responsive. I'm like, I'm not asking. I think also because some concierges do their job for the freebies, I will be honest, and a lot of these restaurants, I think, assume that I'm calling because I'm hoping for a free dinner. I'm like, no. It's not my personality at all. I just really want to know what you're all about.
Right. Yeah.
And as I said, majority of the people are more responsive than not, but it's difficult sometimes because I do get that a lot, even when I go out on my own. And if I introduce myself as a concierge, they automatically assume I'm doing it because I'm trying to get something for free.
I found the boutique hotels a little more approachable, and also... Yeah. Well, I think a major difference when you went to a larger hotel group, there were 8 concierge. Mm-hmm. And so getting to the Viceroy where you're at now, so how many people are on your team there, and when did you join and decide to go uptown?
Well, actually, after the Soho Grand, to be quite honest with you, I always aspired to be uptown just because, unfortunately, in my industry, you are more... respected in the finer 5-star properties because people just get what a concierge does. In the smaller boutique properties, people don't kind of recognize a concierge as much. It's changing a lot. Don't get me wrong.
Soho Grand is not, I don't consider it boutique.
No, but it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we weren't 5-star, but it is, you're right, maybe not so much boutique, but it's more of a trendier, stylish brand kind of.
Yeah.
They're all about
cool.
branding. Yeah, exactly. Very cool. And it was. And like I said, it was one of the best experiences I had working. Really, really, it taught me a lot about downtown. I got to know the Soho type of guests. I got to know all of that stuff. But for a concierge, to be honest with you, even becoming part of our association that we are in, which is the New York Association for Concierges, initially... we weren't really taken seriously as the uptown hotels were. So even getting into the association was like, oh, really? Oh, we didn't even think that you guys wanted to be a part of our association. I'm like, well, yeah, we work just the same way you do. But again, I think the concierge industry is so old and it's a little more of that.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's an older school mentality as well, but it's changing so much. It really has. And especially with all these newer hotels with more kind of hippie, trendier styles, you know, it's changed. But I will still say some hotels are not even using concierge and they do front desk and concierge together, kind of. So not every property, yes, not every property actually has their sole concierge. So for me, as I said, I aspired to be uptown, and then I luckily was able to get a job at the Mark after the Soho Grand.
Oh, okay.
Which was an amazing experience for me because completely different clientele. Like, it's night and day. It really was an it was actually really scary. The first 2 weeks I started, I was in shock at how different it was. It was like...
Well, that's Upper East Side.
Exactly.
And the Mark restaurant, or John George.
John George, yes.
Yeah, I've dined there once, but it's not... I don't do Upper East Side that much.
Exactly.
So
but
I
will
see.
Tell you, the clientele was amazing. It really... Yeah. It's a cross between very... of course, old school, but also very modern rich. So you had a bit of both, the best of both worlds, because you didn't have, they weren't always, so, you know, pretentious, but they were, but they weren't at the same time. And they really respected what a concierge does. They really did. They were, they put themselves in my hands, which is great. So I learned a lot being there. And I got to know the Upper East Side and the Uptown, which I never knew before because, you know, as New Yorkers, we don't pass 14th Street. But because, like I said, with my job, you need to know everything. You can't be so closed-minded. You have to know Upper East Side. You have to know Brooklyn. You have to know Queens. You have to know everything because a lot of these guests, especially now with social media, as I said before, they know things before we do. So for me, in order for me to be successful with what I do, I want to know everything. So I think that's what's given me like a lot of more credibility. I know so the Uptown, and then Viceroy approached me to be the chef concierge here, which is a huge thing for me, for my career, of course. It was a little hard for me to leave at first because I really loved Mark. I had no reason to leave. But, of course, you have to move up in your life and your career. And when they gave me the opportunity, I took it. And it was a little hard for me to say yes also because it's a new hotel. They've never had a Viceroy before. This is the first property they've had in the city. We're worldwide, but this was the first New York property.
And it opened, what,
October. So this October will be we're really fresh. This is our second year.
It seemed like a little longer.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah.
Of course you're right.
So it was, I felt for myself in my career, as I said, I think it was the best thing to do. It was a hard transition because it was Midtown. So it's a completely different clientele. Right. You have a mix of Uptown, but you also have a mix of a lot of business people, too. And then you have almost close enough to Times Square clientele. So it's a bit of, like, everything.
So I get it.
Yeah, and you're a New Yorker, and you're long enough, and where you live. So you do. You know all of the different neighborhoods. It's really interesting to see what kind of different people I get every day. It's amazing.
Yeah. So. Okay, so I want to hear more about your day-to-day operation, but we're going to take a little break and come back and talk some more with Jeannie. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. You know, there's no more telling aspect, no more revealing virtue of a group of people having evolved in a lovely way than how they feed themselves, how they entertain, how they put food on the table, what they put on the table. Heritage Radio Network provides the clearest evidence that there's hope for us yet. Heritage Radio's like Fairway Market in that we both care deeply about what you're having for dinner tonight. Heritage Radio Network is not just about food, though. Every time I tune in, I learn something about things other than food, too. Architecture, design, stuff like that. But from where I stand, I still say, if you can't eat it, what's the point? For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Chef Concierge Jeannie Voltsinis of the Viceroy New York Hotel. Chef Concierge, I want to ask you about that because when I first met you and you told me that was your title, I literally thought you were a chef concierge. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And I think your job is still awesome, but it doesn't necessarily mean chef as in restaurant chef. Concierge.
Chef for French.
So what does it mean?
You are like, I guess it's like you're the chief. I am the
chief
concierge.
Okay.
Everyone thinks I misspelled my signature on my email. I'm like, no, it's chef. It's French, basically. But we're not chefs. But technically, you are. We are. We're the ones in charge. So I oversee a team of three.
Okay.
So with myself included is four. So in terms of what our daily, I mean, overall, it can vary every day, but the majority of it stays pretty consistent. And when I get in the morning, of course, the first thing I do is see my arrivals and who's coming in, if we have any VIPs that I have to know about, anything going on in the hotel, of course. And as you know, we have a roof bar.
Lovely
roof bar that is part of our hotel, but not, it's part of another company, but it is, of course, part of our hotel. So I have to deal with what's going on in there. And like, for example, today they were closed for a private event and some people don't know that. So, you know, you have to make sure everyone is aware of whatever is going on in the hotel, basically. So once that's all done, of course, I open my computer and I check my million of emails and obviously prioritize which ones are more important. Anything incoming, outgoing, anything that has to be done that day. So we get a lot of also requests from outside people, maybe amenities, for example. Like I had two birthdays today and a wedding. And three people from the outside called. They wanted flowers for their guests. They wanted champagne. They wanted all that stuff. So that's something we have to do, obviously. And then not only am I dealing with emails, but then I'm dealing with five people in front of me at the same time asking me where they're supposed to go, and it's raining, and and they need advice all day, every day. So,
what's the typical advice? Is it Broadway shows? Is it restaurant reservations?
Exactly, yeah. Majority of it, I will say, is pretty consistent. It's like never everyone always asks me, what's the craziest thing someone's ever asked you? And I'm like, you know what? I've never had anything that over the top, really. But a majority of them are restaurant requests, Broadway requests, museum requests. What's the hippest, hottest new show, new restaurant, even touristy things like, well, you know, the High Line. Where is the High Line? They've never heard of the High Line. What exhibitions are going on? And like, we really have to know a lot. We can't know everything, of course, but you really kind of have to be on top of your game. And the good thing with my team is everyone plays their own role. I'm definitely the food and fashion kind of forward. My two other colleagues are amazing at Broadway. They know every single show. They know what every single show's about. They live and breathe Broadway. And then my other colleague, who just is kind of very diverse in everything, which is great. He's more music and, you know, clubs and stuff like that, where I feel like I'm so old, I don't even know what's going on in that part of the world anymore. But so, yeah, it's really great to have a team where each of you kind of feed off each other.
Sounds like it's a great balance.
Yeah, it's, you need it. We all can't know everything. And right. I'll be the first to admit it. I don't. I mean, I know a lot, but again, everything changes every day. Something shuts down, something opens. So
what are your go-to restaurants right now, or if you have any?
You know what? And it's so sad to say, I'm such a creature of habit. As much as I go out to all of the new stuff happening, when I do dine out, are you asking like personally when I go out, or for guests, my go-tos?
I was thinking of guests, but you can answer it any way you'd like.
in both ways. So this is what I tend to do. A very, very big part of a concierge is reading your guests. Now, if I knew someone like yourself, and if you approach the desk, I would know right away that I'm not sending you to the restaurant that's on the corner just because you asked me for casual Italian. I know I would send you to somewhere where I go on my regular, which is like somewhere like Peasant. It's been around forever. It's one of my favorite restaurants. They're so consistent. And again, why for me, what makes it a favorite is I'm someone that likes consistency. And that's why a lot of these restaurants that are still around is because of that. Maybe the food is not over the top and, oh my God, that was like the best thing I've had in my life, but it's good food.
I was going to say, that's a good reminder for me to get back to Peasant because I haven't been there in years.
I love it. It's one of my go-tos for sure. It's one of my go-tos for my guests. They always come back super happy because, A, they would never have gone there. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice New York feeling. It's not so touristy and it's yummy food. That's a good one. I'm very big in Japanese food, so I really like my Japanese cuisine, and Soto is one of them that I definitely recommend highly when I do sushi, just because it's not as high-end, but it's pretty reasonable still. Or Sushi Dojo I love in the East Village. He's amazing, and he's so reasonably priced for the quality of the fish.
So reasonably priced.
So again, it's reading your guests. Some people don't like that. Too casual. So then I would probably do Shuko, which is new, and I do like it. It's one of my new faves.
I had a great meal there.
Yeah, I had a really nice meal there. And even like Balthazar, like really, you can say, yes, it's a tourist trap, but overall it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's again, it's consistent. You know what you're getting. You're not getting some over the top meal maybe, but you know, that niçoise that I've had 10 years ago is still the same, tastes the same, you know?
And so, it represents New York.
And it very much represents,
I don't know.
Yeah, it
really
does.
For someone visiting,
it's probably, believe it or not, my highest
call.
Requested restaurant in all the three properties I've ever worked at. Balthazar, still to this day, is always the highest requested restaurant, for sure.
Yeah. And in the hotel, you have Kingside.
And we have Kingside,
Mark Murphy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we have him, and...
Mark's great.
Yeah, and now in my neighborhood where the Viceroy is, it's changing so much. Like, who wanted to eat in Midtown before?
There's a lot happening.
It's a lot. Look at Jonathan Waxman just opened up his restaurant. Quality Meats, Quality Italian are very good, both as well. Again, like, things that I never thought I would ever go to, I actually don't mind being in Midtown now. It's not so bad.
And Bethany,
amazing. For high end, right? So... it's definitely, we're getting fortunate in that neighborhood, whereas before you were like, oof, who wants to go to Midtown to eat, you know?
No, downtown people are coming uptown.
Right, exactly. It's changing a little bit.
So let me ask you my questions I had from my last episode.
Sure.
I had on executive chef Rye Waddington of Winged Foot Golf Club and food and golf photographer Diana DeLucia of Golf Club World Book. So we're talking golf and food last show.
Oh, my
show.
God. Okay.
Different, right? Yeah. Okay. So Diana wanted to know, who is your most influential mentor?
Ooh. You know what? Actually, I will. I will say it was Sarita Tabaris, I think, had to be my first one. She and I worked together at the Soho Grand. And it's actually because of her as to why they hired me back on as concierge.
Okay.
Yeah, she definitely pushed it for me a lot. And why she was my mentor is us. I really, really appreciate people, especially women. I'm sorry, because I am a woman, who are such hard workers and get to where they are because of the hard work that they do. And she's an unbelievable worker. Like, she went from nothing to building her own restaurant empire, and then from there worked for so many people, of course, in the industry, and then did her own thing, and then became the director of sales at my property, the Soho Grand, and then from there is doing this other project. And she's just always doing something. And watching her just made me want to be that eager beaver as well. I'm like, wow, she was amazing. And she pushed me all the time. She's like, you got it. And I'm like, no, I don't think I do. And she's like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And she pushed me all the time. And I feel with her push, it did get me to where I needed to be. It's a little scary, you know. It was scary. And I'm not, as much as I think I'm that, I have that personality, I sometimes do get a little scared of my own self. And I'm like, oh, nah. I can't do it. I can't do it. But trust me, I look like I'm the crazy lion, but underneath I'm like, oh my God. But I'm learning. And having women like that in my life is amazing. And like, even when I met you, people like you inspire me. I do. It's not easy to have your own business. And I've sometimes thought about it, doing my own thing, but I'm not there yet, but being surrounded by people like yourself and, like I said, my mentor, it does give you a little more of a drive to know you can do it. It's not easy, but it's possible. So I thank you for that. No, really, I mean that. It's not easy for what you guys do, and you don't have you're your own boss, so you have to make the decision every day. It's a little easier for me. I go into a place and, you know, I don't like it, I can leave. But you, you don't like it, you're like, I'm stuck. I have to do this.
Yeah, being the boss is good, but there's pros and cons to everything, for
right.
sure.
Exactly.
But I'm all for anyone doing their own thing.
Yeah,
I encourage it because mm-hmm. I think it's great.
It really is.
So, okay, one more question from last week. I had from Rye. He said, or he asked, what's the difference between working for a global company like Viceroy as opposed to a single unit? He said restaurant, but I think he meant hotel. What are the differences between a larger or smaller?
The Mark was only one hotel, so they didn't have any other ones. So I guess the difference is the kind of good thing is there's nothing to compare it to. Whereas where we struggle with people that have more than one property, like the Viceroy, you do get that a lot. Oh my God, I stayed in the Anguilla property, and the rooms were 3,000 square feet, and I can't believe you guys don't have this. And it's like, well, unfortunately, this is New York, and the rooms are going to be smaller. That's just inevitable. It's New York City. We're not going to have the same amenities that they offer in Anguilla. So that's a little bit of a tough thing for us, really, as opposed to when you are at one property, there isn't anything to compare it to. So whatever you give them is what they know.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
How many properties do you have?
14
now.
And they're keep coming. We're opening them up in Istanbul. We're opening up another one in Dubai. We're opening up in Chicago. So we're growing as a company. Yeah. It's great. Which is like, and again, it's great when you work for a bigger corporation. If you wanted to go somewhere else, it's a little easier for you to be working for another company because they like to hire from within. So it's great. So if you are someone that maybe did want to leave New York and try another property, it would be easier for you to do so.
Or at least travel and have a good place to stay.
That's another thing. Yeah,
Employee discount.
Absolutely. That was going to just say, or working for a nice company, you definitely get the perks of staying at their properties outside of New York.
Right.
So that's nice. Yeah. So I do like that. I'm neither here nor there. I could do both. But that's, as you said, the only better part of working for a larger corporation is you do have a little more opportunities, for sure.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to take another break here. Sure. We're going to come back and do my speed round game and talk some industry news. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. Okay, we are back. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Jeannie Voltsinis. It's time for my speed round game. What this is I'm going to name two things, and you just pick your preference. So are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, here we go. Eat in or eat out?
Eat out.
Duh. Wine, beer, or cocktail?
Wine.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
Oof. You know what? I'm back in a la carte.
Okay. Small plates or large plates?
Small.
Communal table or chef's counter?
Chef's counter.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping.
Uptown, downtown, or midtown?
Downtown.
She's still downtown.
Yeah.
How about working the day shift or night shift?
Day.
Cheese plate or dessert?
Cheese plate.
Manhattan or Brooklyn?
Oh, damn. That's hard. I will still say Manhattan.
Good job.
Yeah.
You're good at that. Really good at that game. Really, you really got the speed part.
Okay.
Yeah, no, some people get stuck a lot.
No, yeah.
You know.
I know what I like.
Very good. Okay, so industry news. One of the articles I noted this week was in the New York Times. It was by Jeff Gordon-Nayer, called Restaurants Take the Din Out of Dining. Basically talking about how there's new technology coming about that is helping with the noise issue in restaurants. And noise has always been a problem or something that just is increasingly, it seems like restaurants just get louder and louder. And I just thought some of this stuff was really interesting. I mean, he was talking about how Untitled has in their ceiling this Boswaphone, mm-hmm. which is some acoustic plastic, porous acoustic plastic that mops up the noise like a giant sponge.
Mm-hmm.
So, because Untitled has all hard surfaces.
Hard surfaces, yeah.
So you
mm-hmm.
wondered how was it that you were able to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So these tricks.
Well, I actually am funny, once you sent me the article, the one thing that was amazing about working for Tom Colicchio at Kraft, he was probably one of the first people to do that. You know, their walls uh-huh. are all insulated. So you
okay.
can actually carry on a conversation.
Yeah.
Because I may not be that old, but I can't tolerate noise. When I dine, I want to speak to my friends. And it's getting worse and worse when you go out. The stereo speaker is right on top of you. And I get it. I mean, you know, you want that kind of trendy, hip, and kind of cool atmosphere. But there's also a way of doing it. And it's just getting worse and worse in some of these places. So after reading this article, I was like, wow, people are actually finally considering the noise factor because it's become such a big problem. But years ago, I'm going now, what, 2005-ish, I guess? And that's when did Kraft open? I can't remember the exact time, but
I would guess that's maybe
yeah,
a little older. Well,
I,
did they celebrate their 10th?
Yeah, I can't remember, but again, they were one of the first properties I ever worked at where it was insulated walls. I'm like, this is amazing. You can really hear each other. It was beautiful. And you still had that nice restaurant feeling of like mm-hmm. the music you can hear, but it wasn't like screaming at each other to hear each other.
Yeah. No, so, it's, and I thought the article was interesting how it quoted Ken Friedman from yeah. The Spotted Pig
yeah, right.
being, because it's known for being a
right.
loud restaurant.
Right.
And he's saying he's even getting tired of shouting.
Yeah, right, right.
But there's something with noise that I think, you know, people like
of
having
course.
the energy. Another thing in this article I thought was interesting was this new Meyer sound, which said it comes from San Francisco. Oh, Meyer Sound might have quoted it. It's a system called Constellation, and it says it's tiny microphones and speakers that are placed throughout the restaurant and piped into a computer so noise levels can be monitored and adjusted automatically.
Wow.
And I was kind of fascinated by that.
That's amazing, yeah.
Because it was comparing it to music with the different levels of having bass or different sound when it comes, because sound all has different tones,
right.
And basically saying it can adjust the tone, so I guess speaking voices or the pleasant noise is louder than the unpleasant noise.
Oh, wow. That's
I'm not
amazing.
Even sure how it works.
Oh, wow. That's pretty amazing.
But I was fascinated seeing that there is this sort of technology
right.
that's being invented.
Which is very expensive, as they're saying in the article, too. That's the only
well,
thing. It's
yeah.
an investment. But I think it's a worth it investment. I really do. But like you said, some restaurants, you need that kind of energy of the loud and obnoxious.
You don't want a quiet restaurant completely where you hear a pin drop that empty restaurant.
Right, yeah.
You want some bit of noise or music, but I think you want to have a conversation and not be shouting.
Right. Again, it depends on your night. Some people don't mind that once in a while, and then there are other things. I want to have a nice conversation with my girlfriend when I'm out for dinner. So I guess it depends, but I think this is a great, great invention, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that was a good article. And then another thing caught my eye the other day was on Eater, mm-hmm. talking about how Massimo Bottura, Enrique Olvera, and Andoni Luis Adariz, I don't know how to pronounce his name. But anyways, they're amazing World's 50 Best Chefs list, right. And they've decided that they're going to collaborate on a restaurant in Cuba.
Right.
And Massimo in the article said he's up for the challenge.
Right. Because they don't know where they're going to get their food, they're saying.
Yeah.
They get imported from, from Canada. I'm like, okay, how fresh is it going to be? So that's going to be a struggle. I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but
I'm not sure either. But, they're saying it will likely be called Pasta, Tapas, and Tacos.
Tapas, yeah.
I mean, well, their chefs, Mexico, Spain, and Italy. Yeah. So they're representing all of them. I mean, it's huge, huge news, that they're doing this.
I'm definitely eager to go try it. That's for sure. If they can execute this, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I didn't have any desire to go to Cuba, and now all of a sudden I have a little one.
Oh, my God, okay.
So influenced by chefs.
Yeah, right. You and me both. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, okay. So that was the news. And the other article to check out in the Times today, Pete Wells talks about how restaurants and bars are sort of merging the line between, and how a lot of bars have opened lately but are doing great food, and sort of this... how do you decipher between them?
Right.
It was an interesting article as well.
Yeah, I didn't get to read it. I will definitely read it. Did they mention any places in particular at all?
He talked about... we talked about Aldo Sam. He talked about some Brooklyn places. He talked about El Colmado Butchery, Seamus's place.
Right.
Basically saying it's a bar that even though... It was promoted as a restaurant,
right.
But he was saying it's one of those places you would probably just show up and meet your friends and not make a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying that line between a bar and a restaurant has kind of been crossed.
Right.
It was a good read.
Yeah. I will definitely read that.
Okay. Great. Okay. We're going to take one more break, come back and do my solo dining experience. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. It's time for my solo dining experience, which this week is at 27 Restaurant in Miami Beach. Here's the rundown. Location, 2727 Indian Creek Drive at the Freehand Hotel and Hostel. The concept, global inspired American fare and cocktails set in a restored 1930s house. The chef, James Saba, in collaboration with Bar Labs Alad Zvi and Gabriel Orta, and Seidel Group's Roy Alpert. Why did I go? Because I'm a fan of the Freehand's award-winning cocktail bar, The Broken Shaker, and wanted to give its new restaurant a try. My experience. After having trouble parking and resorting to the pricey valet, I entered 27 hungry for brunch. I settled at a table for two and began to relax and enjoy the homey atmosphere and warm service. What did I get? I went with Alad's shakshuka with ZBT bread, which stands for Zach the Baker, plus coffee, and since I initially asked for iced coffee or a cold brew, which they didn't have except a cocktail version, they then nicely sent one out for me on the house sans alcohol. My take. I love the shakshuka with its rich tomato sauce. I figured it would be a nice, it would be great since Elad grew up in Israel, and this dish is an Israeli breakfast of champions. And my cold brew concoction sweetened with coconut milk tasted like liquid dessert. The scene, Miami locals. Perfect for homestyle cooking in a chilled South Beach setting with optional patio seating. Interesting tidbit. The Broken Shaker won Best American Hotel Bar at this year's Tales of a Cocktail. Personal fun fact. I met Alan a couple years ago when I was solo dining at Lure Fish Bar in South Beach. It was good to see him again. The cost. $14, not including tax and gratuity, plus $20 valet. Would I go back? Yes. Website, thefreehand.com. Have you been down there, Jeannie?
Never. No, not to that particular restaurant you're speaking of, no.
Well, the restaurant's new, but Have you been to Broken Shaker?
Oh, no, never to Broken Shaker either. Right?
It's very cool.
Yeah.
It's after my meal, I went in the patio and just chilled out. They have this nice, it's just got a nice vibe.
Where
the music
again? Where
it's 27th, so it's kind of, it's a little north of what's happening with the W and the and the new One Hotel,
right?
So it's 20th, like off of Collins. It's
nice.
It's on Indian Creek Drive, which is the parallel street to Collins.
Oh, okay.
So it's just It's kind of that mid South Beach area that's been developing.
Okay.
It's very cool, worth checking out.
Definitely will when I'm in Miami.
Okay.
Thanks.
Now, it's time for the final question. So my next guests are Karen Page and Andrew Dornenberg. They are a wife and husband writing team, award-winning authors of culinary books, including The Flavor Bible, What to Drink with What to Eat, and Becoming a Chef. They've written a lot of amazing books. Yeah. So, Jeannie, what shall I ask Karen and Andrew?
How they started their careers. I looked them up today. How many books they've written and how many awards they won. It's amazing. How did they even start? How did they get themselves into this industry to begin with?
Yeah.
Were they always writers, or did they just kind of, how did it happen for them?
Yeah, I want to know.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Okay, that's the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Well, thank you for coming out. It's been great having you. I've been talking to Jeannie Voltsinis. She's the chef concierge at the Viceroy New York Hotel in Midtown Manhattan. Their website's viceroyhotelsandresorts.com. On Twitter, you can follow at Viceroy New York. On Instagram, you can follow Jeannie at JV Volts. Haven't figured out why you're not on Twitter.
I know.
We have to get you on Twitter.
I have to get on there, I guess.
but it's good. Got you on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You can follow me on both Twitter and Instagram at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, at All Industry. And my Facebook page is All in the Industry, and my website's BayerPublicRelations.com. As a reminder, all of our shows are archived on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We are also on Stitcher and iTunes, so you can listen to our shows anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Jeannie, to my awesome engineer, Jack, to all my sponsors and everyone listening. I'm Sherry Bayer, and I'll be back next Wednesday with another live show at 4 o'clock. Thanks for being part of All in the Industry. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Everybody.